Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition, the back where I belong, undistracted by teammates and televisions, just cats and dogs edition, and Paula printing stuff in the middle of the show. I love Wednesdays. They're just great. Bulaga, Homer, Wisconsin geography trivia, can't beat it, edition. And the upgrading the graphics and zooming in so you can see our nose hairs on
the video. That's
too close,
Jesse. I can move the camera back if that helps you.
That would be something on your end you could accomplish. I cannot zoom any further back than we are.
See if you guys like it.
Feel free to tinker.
Oh, tinker. Tinkerer. Tinkers to Evers to Chance edition.
Oh, no.
All right, now we got a good view of the back of your computer. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde of Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight ESPN Madison studios. And from his undisclosed location where you can now see two-thirds of his face, he is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
What's up, Cup Champs, huh? Milwaukee Bucks Cup Champs, huh?
Yeah, that's exciting. You've got cup fever now that they've won it. Did you watch any of that? Being the big Bucks fan, a big NBA aficionado. You watched it start to finish?
Yeah, I watched... No. I watched probably the middle to late fourth quarter. Saw the celebration. Saw Giannis excited about it. So... this is one of those deals, if your team's not in it, you don't care about it. But if your team that you are rooting for is in it, you're excited. And the fact that none of the stats and nothing counts is really dumb. But I give the NBA credit. They're trying. They're trying to do some different stuff. So I'm going to tip the cap and say kudos to y'all. They made it a little bit more fun than what it was. But don't know if it really moved the needle for everybody outside of Milwaukee, if we're being honest about it.
So are you saying don't confuse effort with results, but here there were some results?
Yeah, I think results for the teams that won it. The ones that don't really care. And the fact that there's no whatchamacallit with it. Oh, boy. Let's see. Is that better, Jesse?
Yeah, it is better.
I don't know why. why I have to move my camera back. Can't you just zoom it back out? Do you know what I mean?
Well, only so far.
Still too close.
We can do a digi only where we explain how cameras work during one of our upcoming commercial breaks.
That sounded a little condescending. All right. Well, we're off to a strong start here on Wilde and Tausch. The Bucks win the NBA Emirates Cup. Tausch is excited.
All right. So I could tell you don't give two rips about the Bucks. So I'm just going to move along.
Come on.
I just said I did.
Well, it doesn't mean you actually did.
But I watched it. So, yes, I did.
You watched, like, the final 8 minutes of the game.
That's what I do with most NBA games that I'm not at live.
So you weren't really into it then, if you treated it like every other NBA game.
I do that with a lot of sports. No, I'm not, like, overly... Okay? Let's cut the BS. I saw you on social media yesterday. You're going to watch every minute of Netflix with Rodgers. You're not. Who are you kidding? I don't know if I'm going to watch it. Get out of Dodge. There's no way you're not going to not watch it. Come on.
Let's
be honest with our audience.
Are you choosing to be combative today? Is that what we're going to do?
No, I'm choosing to say I call complete hogwash on your little digi only from Milwaukee yesterday saying, I don't know if I'm going to watch it or not. Come on now.
Hogwash.
Everybody in America that listens to our show knows that you're still enthralled with Aaron Rodgers and that you're going to watch Netflix. Like, come on, dude. Jesse, am I crazy?
That's hogwash. You're watching it. It might not be immediate. You might take a little time, get out of the season.
You might fake like you're not, and then Paul and the girls are gone, and I got to do it, but, come on now.
He's watching it.
Yes. You're probably going to be in it, would be my guess.
I'm told there is a clip from the radio show, and he mentions my name.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Is that your Netflix debut?
I don't know.
Pretty good.
Hogwash, smogwash. Here's the deal. And I tried to explain. I don't really enjoy talking about him because it's a complicated situation with a complicated fella for me. Because the metamorphosis that he is undergone, I don't get it. I don't quite understand it. I suppose if I watch it, I will have more insight into it. But this is, you know, the relationship I have with him is different than one I've ever had with any other player. Like, obviously, we've been doing this show now for going on 9 years, but you weren't playing at the time. Feels a lot longer. Hogwash. He's so vastly different than the guy who did the Mac Fund events.
So are you. You're a lot different than when you were a pipsqueak reporter to 15 before you were married. Get out of here. You're a lot different. Everybody is. There's varying ranges. No, you are. Trust me, you are.
You're doing a lot of telling me what I am and what I'm doing today there.
Well,
totally on brand, which tells me you haven't changed a damn bit.
But, Jason, you know this better than anybody, and you've seen this with all players. Guys come in the league a certain way, and nobody is the exact same. Everybody. Now, you could say Aaron is obviously changed in a big way. I'm not going to argue with you on that, even as much as I want to. On Combative Wednesday, I want to argue. Retired Navy fella. Give Jason his roses already because I know that's what's coming. But we all go through changes and growth and different things. So to act as if that's not the case, now your point on he's changed in a big way, I'm not going to fight you on that. Of course he has.
And so it's it's difficult for me on multiple levels. And I don't talk about this very often. But I don't have much or any connectivity with my family. And he obviously went through a period where he did a similar thing.
Now, I don't know where things stand. If you don't believe me, I haven't even asked Ian O'Connor for a copy of his book. I don't want to read it.
He sent us two copies.
He sent
where
a
are they,
digi.
Jesse?
He sent me a digi copy. I never opened it.
I need hard copy. Come on.
I know you do.
What's
well,
his
I
name,
can
O'Connor?
Reach out to him.
Ian. Come on.
Yeah. Ian O'Connor.
I can reach
Ian,
out to him on your behalf.
He was on here for a half hour, said he's sending us books, and there are no books. Just don't lie to us. I don't care if you don't want to send us a book, but don't tell us you're going to send us a book and not send us a book. And after basically just glazing you the entire time on that interview,
yeah,
except oh, my
getting...
God, Jason, you are the best. You're the greatest. Like, you know he was glazed. He had more glazing than Quick Trip.
Yeah, but did it have one of those really nice commemorative tins that you could get for your Glazers? It has been difficult for me on a personal level to watch the transformation, and I don't want to put too much stuff of his out on the street. I just don't know who his close confidants are nowadays. I don't know if they push back on him the way, for instance... a guy like you, who you didn't stand on ceremony with him. You guys went after each other, right? Corey Linsley, another guy who did that, right? And I don't know who those people are in his life. I would just say that...
Erica in Milwaukee. I know I think she's still a diehard with A-Rod. But I haven't even barely heard from Erica on this show.
I think she's more of a YouTube commenter now, which is great.
Oh, is she in the YouTube?
Yeah, if you could ever get subscribed, you'd be able to participate.
They won't let me jump in there, which is a
shame. Let me just leave it at this. So I would be lying if I said that, because look, whatever it is that you become, like, perhaps overly passionate about, if it's fair to say this, all the different types of experiences and experimentations that he's doing, I don't want to judge what I don't understand, while at the same time it feels to me like he has gone multiple bridges too far for me. Again, it's his life. He gets to do whatever he wants with it. I don't get to tell him, hey, you're a crazy person. I'm not doing that. But for me, to think back to who he was and then to where he's at now, I'm struggling with understanding that. Maybe watching it would make me understand it better. Maybe it would just irritate me more. So that is my reluctance to watch it, because I would just say that the guy that did the radio show, the guy that didn't want us to talk about him getting engaged to Destiny Newton when he went to watch Jordan play at Vanderbilt and she had the big rock on her finger, to be now someone who does his own documentary on himself, that would be a pretty seismic shift.
Did he do his own? This was not... bought it? Is that how that works?
I don't know exactly how it works, because I have not looked into it, because I've been avoiding it. But the fact of the matter is...
So
why are
you avoiding it, though? I understand you're not, like, chomping to watch it.
Because I would appreciate it if you would stop telling me that I'm going to watch it. I
Jesse,
don't know how
pull
much
it.
More
do you care if
I
we pull
say,
this or you get mad about it?
No,
you get mad if we pull this?
Go ahead. I'm not going to retweet it for you.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
gonna
100% going to... I don't fully understand why you don't admit you... Like, if there was a documentary about Auburndale High School and all this stuff, because you had 4 years, which is my high school reign. Just hold up. I'll get there. It's something I'm very interested in. I want to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I'm just going to tell you, you know what? Our Auburndale High School basketball teams, that is a huge part of how I ended up going to Wisconsin and all that stuff. It's a huge part of your career. It is a four-year window. High school, four-year window. I'm going to be intrigued as get out to watch it. I'm not going to sit here and say, I don't know, I didn't love Coach Anderson's move in 96 about how his rotations, so I'm not going to watch it. That's not how I'm going to approach it.
Documentary about your high school team in which you would be a major player of the story.
You're a major player.
I don't think so.
A better comparison would be a documentary about a former teammate of yours, like, oh, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers.
Look, I don't either. But that was a bad, for someone who's so good at analogies, that was terrible. I just want you to know that.
4 years. How many years you do the show?
That's the only thing that's similar. You went to high school for 4 years, and we did the show for 4 years.
Covered him for 15.
Okay. That's
pretty simple. I am telling you that I got multiple texts yesterday from folks who watched it already, who notified me that in the third episode, there's a portion of Tuesdays with Aaron that is, it shows apparently a picture of us talking. And then a clip of me asking him a question. Yeah, it's cute. And he says my name. Ooh. Look, that's the only sliver of this that I'm in. It is not about me, and I am certainly not a major player in the documentary. It is about this transformation that he's undergone from being the guy who, when we were supposed to go out after the 09 season ended, and talk about the season and have dinner, and I canceled because Paula was in labor. This is the guy who, and again, I don't tell this story. I'm telling it now because I want people to understand that I am not full of hogwash when I say that this is difficult for me and I don't think I want to watch it. This is the guy who showed up at the hospital and met Maddie after she was born. Brought Paula flowers from the gift shop, where the gift shop old lady thought that he, when he asked where the maternity ward was, it could have been a nice little TMZ deal because she thought that he was going for his girlfriend who had given birth or something, which would have really been an interesting story. But that's who he was to me. I don't recognize him in his current form. And so that is why it is difficult for me. Okay, he's not just the four-time NFL MVP. He is the guy who hid under our guest room bed playing hide-and-seek with the girls. So it is not hogwash. It is difficult for me. I don't know what his ultimate, as he keeps going through this process, what he will end up being on the other side when he's fully formed as whatever this guy is now. We still correspond on occasion. I will say this, and I tried this with my family to less success. I'm trying harder with him. I don't want to give up on people. I've never been good at that. Again, he gets to live his life the way he wants, but I definitely think there are some instances where if he had some of us who maybe shoot him straighter, we would have maybe helped him through some different things. So, end of story is, I don't think I'm going to watch. So, if you want to send me what I miss, let me know. And let me know what you think of it, and if you think I can make it through it or not. Because this ain't the Sixth Sense, okay? I haven't seen the Sixth Sense. I don't feel like there's a big void in my life because of it. Haley Joel Osment, nothing against you or Bruce Willis, but this obviously hits a lot closer to home. I'm not actively avoiding the Sixth Sense, but yes, I'm not lying. I'm actively avoiding this. I have Netflix. I could have watched it last night. I didn't, and I don't see myself watching it anytime soon. How's that for an answer?
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you you're lying to yourself, but you're lying to yourself.
Like, you're only lying to yourself if you are crowdsourcing new credit cards.
What does that mean?
While I'm pouring my heart out on the radio. Tell us a little bit about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, since you're so interested in how I feel.
I am interested in how you feel. I
can't believe you posted this while I was talking.
I had that pre-programmed. And sure, your home remains comfortable before we reach the brutal post-holiday winter. And yes, I'm searching for a new credit card. It's the end of the year. And Santa Claus, He's magical, but his elves, they aren't qualified to build Pella windows and doors. There's just too many options, too many customizations. So instead of going through the big red fella, take advantage of a deal from Pella. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on New Year's Eve. Visit PellaWI.com. Learn more.
I can't believe you did this.
What do you mean?
Oh, you'll see. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
It would appear that there's a fair number of folks who aren't real interested in Aaron Rodgers' conversation in the YouTube comments. Newsflash.
Isn't it crazy, though? And I get it. I understand it. But we spent from the inaugural show when Aaron joined us till the day he was traded. I mean, the amount of hours we've spent speaking about him. And then it went real quick, didn't it? Once he got traded, where the, I don't want to say vitriol, but the amount of I'm done with him conversation, and it's almost, it's weird to me. How even in a season where we've talked about him hardly at all, 15 minutes, and it is just, you can feel that people are like, I'm just done. And that's why I'm intrigued how interested Packer fans, and I was intrigued, even though I don't believe you, and it's not calling you a liar, it's just how I feel, that people aren't interested in this dude's deal. It surprises me. And I am surprised that it's to that point.
Okay. I'm not discussing him, but I would like to discuss you saying, I'm not calling you a liar, it's just how I feel. I'm pretty sure
we're a feelings-based society now, brother. I don't know if you noticed, this is a feelings-based society. So, yes, that's how I feel.
You aren't a liar, I just perceive you to be a non-truth-teller.
No, that's not what I said. Jesse, you are agreeing with me, so before you get off your perch, you agree with me.
Oh, yeah, he's going to watch it at some point, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So then he'd be lying, but he's not, because I think in his heart of hearts, he doesn't want to. And maybe enough time will pass, and that'll be the case, but I just don't know. I don't know.
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room afterward, get an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in just 6 minutes. No more, no less. Bucks in six. You get the recap of them beating the Thunder to win the NBA Cup.
Yeah, listen back to that one from last night.
Good win.
In just 6 minutes on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or you just want to relive those biggest moments, like Tausch wants to from the 8 minutes of the game that he watched because he's such a big Bucks fan, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get
Gary
your
Trent
podcasts.
Last night. Yeah. Big game.
I'm sure he
played good ball.
How'd he play in the first quarter? How'd he look?
I missed it. I don't know. I missed that.
You don't want to miss Brian Bulaga, who joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at Tito'sVodka.com.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home, I've got some famous friends. Yeah, I do.
He's not an enigma. He's just the star of our Wednesday shows. When is this guy going to be in the Packers Hall of Fame? When is he going to join you? How long does he have to wait?
I don't know how long.
Let's get on that.
I think it's 5 years. I think is when it starts.
Yeah, but his time with the Chargers barely counts. It is Brian Bulaga on Will Detach. Brian, good morning. Thank you for joining us. We are always thrilled to have you. We've been discussing a documentary that I'm not going to watch and I'm not going to discuss anymore. But I was sharing my feelings earlier. And while I was doing that, Tausch was asking Twitter for suggestions for a new credit card. Would you say that makes him a good teammate?
Blue, do you have a good credit card that you like that gets great travel?
This is what I deal
stuff
with.
Because I'm in the market.
For credit card wise, like I don't know because I don't really I've had like the same credit card since I was a rookie. So like I don't even know if that
What's the number?
I don't even know if that credit card still gets made, like if they even used it. Like I have no idea. So I have no idea. Like I'm, and I don't even know if that one. Like I know I can get travel miles on that. I know I can book airline tickets, but I don't know if it's like a good one. You know what I mean? So like okay. I'm a really bad guy to ask with that. Like I'm just not good with the air miles and points and stuff. Like it's not my forte.
Okay. Well, the reason I asked is, hey, I put that out there. I was on Netflix and I didn't watch the Rogers doc. I watched this thing on credit cards. And there's three types of credit card people. There's revolvers, there's the people that pay it right away, and then there's the hackers. I want to be a hack guy where I'm getting all the perks and I'm utilizing it and I'm getting everything. They're basically, credit card companies will lose money on those people that use all the perks and get everything. I am not that guy right now, and I think after watching this documentary, it's pretty intriguing. So that's why, even though Jason is telling me he's not going to watch the Rogers doc, I'm on Netflix looking at different things, and that's what kind of piqued my interest. And so I'm getting some feedback. I'd like a little bit more than what I'm getting on Twitter, because end of the year, I'm either going to lock into this Delta deal again, which I don't want to do, or I'm going to move forward with something else. And I thought you being a savvy cat like you are would be able to help me. But it's all right that you can.
Yeah, I'm not savvy with the credit cards. I'll put it that way. I'm not a real savvy guy with the credit cards. I will say that. But I got to watch that, I guess, because that sounds interesting to me.
It's pretty good.
I'll say that.
It's pretty good. It gives you a little insight into that business, which is...
I mean, I'll tell you this much. They make a lot of money in that business now. They know what they're doing. I will say that.
You ain't kidding about that.
You may not be savvy with credit cards, but you are savvy with the game film. We'll talk about what you saw in the Packers win over the Seahawks. I just wanted to start at a point how do you feel about this team right now? Because on Monday, Tausch and I, and even yesterday, kind of went back and forth about how good they really are. And, you know, obviously everyone dings, it feels like, every win they have. Right now we're dinging the Seahawks win. Oh, they knocked out Geno Smith. And
oh, Arizona's the worst team on earth. Who's the one doing all the dinging?
Hey, oh boy. After they won four in a row and then they lost, you turned around and said, I was right. So don't be pretending that you didn't agree with me eventually.
They're in the mix.
They are in the mix. Yeah. So what do you make of where this team is at with three games left, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I think that win made me feel a lot better about where they're at. I mean, I think going on the road and beating that team, I mean, Seattle, depending on how Geno recovers from whatever injury he has, right, has as good a chance as any to win that division and be a playoff team, right? So to be able to go into their place on a Sunday night stage and really dominate that game, I understand. I understand where people are saying, well, what about the third quarter and a little bit into the fourth? They barely played. I get it. I understand. I watched it too. But they had that game in hand essentially the whole time. But that's a tough place to go and win, and they did it. And they made it look very routine. And up to that point, they really haven't beaten anyone, and I get it, you can only play the teams on your schedule, but they haven't really beaten anyone with a record that, you know, that you're impressed by, or beating a team that's been playing good football. I get Houston early in the year, and Houston's now probably going to obviously win that division, and, you know, they'll be a playoff team, and that was early in the season, and they won that game very convincingly, but that was at home, right? Green Bay's going on the road for the playoffs. Like, that's where they're going to have to make their hay, is on the road. So I needed to see this team on the road and get something done on the road. Now they'll have another opportunity against Minnesota to see how that looks again. But I feel much better about it after seeing them play in Seattle. So I'm very optimistic about them.
Blue, how shocked were you with the Go Pack Go chance? Like, Seattle's a house of horrors, man. That is a loud, big-time home field. That was their biggest game in forever. And that was part of the reason I was so intrigued with that game, because of that. And, yes, yeah, it was still loud. I'm sure they still had to adjust. But can you ever imagine all the times you went out there and had the battles you did and dealt with all that, that there'd be 40, maybe even 50% of that crowd? That wasn't a Go Pack Go after the stadium had cleared out and you're up by 17. That's second quarter that's happening.
No, that was absolutely wild to me. I mean, I could have only dreamed of going there and having a Go Pack Go chant in the second series or whatever it was being that loud. I mean, that would have been ridiculous. That was their biggest game in a long time, a game that meant a lot to that team and with a new coach and everything. But as much as it meant, you know, for that team right now and where that organization is right now, and I continue to say it, like, there was that team that we played back in, you know, 2014 and 2016 and all those, that was a different football team, that Seattle team. They were really good, and those fans in Seattle knew exactly what they had, and they got behind that team, and everyone fed off that crowd. Like, that team fed off that crowd, and it was they made it a very bad environment for, you know, the opposing team. So to see Packer fans, Packer fans have some PTSD about it, so they showed up, and they made it as a friendly environment for their team as they could, and it showed. They showed out for the away team and made the Packers feel as at home as they could, and it showed. You could hear it. It was really awesome.
Brian, when we talk about road games, and look, unless they somehow are like the fifth or the sixth seed, and then somehow the sixth or the seventh seed manages to also reach the NFC Championship game, they are on the road for all three if they are going to advance to an NFC title game, and at least the first two. Is there something to a young team that last year went into Dallas, that last year went in to Detroit on Thanksgiving, that last year for three quarters and change went into San Francisco, that they don't have to fear the challenges of the road playoff path? And is that one of the other reasons why what happened, even with the Go Pack Go chance in Seattle, it puts them in a confident mind frame of, okay, we can do this? Because I don't know, Mike, part of me thinks young guys, they don't know what they don't know, so they don't even really worry about it. But I'm fascinated to know how they're going to handle all the things that will come with this path when they won't, you know, they have been inconsistent during the course of the season with the games that they've played against good teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot like last year, you hit it. Like, you don't know what you don't know, and you, when you don't have scar tissue, it's hard to be burnt by something that hasn't happened, right? Like, they haven't gone, like, yeah, they lost to San Francisco, but they're going to feel like that was really, like, we had the game, and like, you know, crazy stuff happened at the end, of missed field goal, and Jordan Love does something that he never does, and okay, we should have beat San Francisco, but, like, it is what it is. Like, there's been, like, it wasn't like what we had you know, in Arizona or what we had in Seattle. Like, it was never anything like that, right? Where then every time we went on the road, you just had this feeling that something was going to happen, right? Like, we, another example would be 2016 going to Atlanta and our flight gets delayed 8 hours. We don't get into Atlanta till 1 a.m. And it's like, okay, well, of course this went wrong. Well, why wouldn't have this gone wrong today? And like, and you know, it's just like things like that. And this team, they don't have that mentality. Like, they don't understand that. And that's great for them. That is absolutely fantastic. So they feel like they can just kind of go into these places and play and just play at a high level. And it's really how I felt when I was a rookie. Like, I knew we had to go on the road every game. Like, I understood it was, we were the sixth seed and we were going to have to travel everywhere, and that's okay. But I didn't know any different that we were just going to go on road games, right? Like, it was, we had to travel everywhere we had to go. I already understood we had to go to Philly. We played Philly week one. I knew we had to go to Atlanta. We played Atlanta in the middle of the season, and we had to go to Chicago, and we had already played Chicago. So it was already stadiums that I had already visited throughout the season. So it was like, okay, I'm just going to these places a second time this year. And that's the way I looked at it. So, and if you look at this team, it's probably going to be a little bit of the same thing. I get if they have to go to Philly, right? They were in Brazil, you know, this year. But it's going to be very similar. So I just think these guys, like, they're young enough, like, they're experienced enough to understand what needs to be done, right? The preparation and what goes into it. They obviously have Jordan Love, and they have a couple veteran guys that get it. But they're young enough to just, I don't like the word naive, but just don't really care enough to, like, worry about those things.
They don't know,
right?
Anybody.
It's not even.
Yeah, they don't know anybody.
Yeah, they just. It just doesn't impact them, and they just go in and play, and that could be a really big positive for them.
Bigger problem in that 2016 NFC Championship game: the flight delays and the weather travel. I think you bus to Milwaukee to go, or the fact that you played the game with Ladarius Gunter trying to cover Julio Jones, and by the end of the game, LaTroy Guyon was playing guard.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the driving to Milwaukee and not taking off till I don't even remember what time that was an issue. And then, yeah, I mean, I think, guarding Julio with anyone in that season was going to be a problem, right? Like, I think no matter who you put on Julio in 2016 was not going to work out well. And then with LaTroy, I think he got the last two series at guard, and by that time I think we were down by 30, so it didn't matter who you had in there. I mean, the game was over. I mean, that game was over at halftime. I mean, let's be real. I mean,
ran out of gas.
That was it. I mean, we had a fumble down at the 1 yard line early on. And that kind of just zapped the sails out of us, and they went back down and scored right away, and it was like 14-3. And well, it just, you know, when you're in a shootout, you got to score touchdowns. You can't get field goals, and that's the way it went. And yeah, but there was a little bit of everything, I feel like, that week.
And that's the challenge, right? With the more than likely having to play all these road games is, I think you could beat everybody, but can you run the gauntlet and have enough juice left, like your team in 2016, to get all, to do that battling? And then do you have enough left, especially if you're playing a one seed like Philly, who potentially would have only had to play one game before you play them, or none if you end up as a six seed and having to go up there? That's the battle that I think makes it so much more difficult. But then you look at it, you've had the one seeds in the past and you haven't gotten it done. What do you think from this team's perspective? It would be easier if you didn't have to do it, but the fact that you're younger definitely is an advantage, is it not?
See, I kind of agree with that. And, you know, like you said, I've had the one seed, I've had the two seed, I've had the six seed, I've been all over the map with where I've been as a playoff, like where I've been seeded in the playoffs. And, like, yeah, you like the bye week. It's nice, right? And you get that kind of little break. But there's something about going into it, like battle tested, right? Like there's something about playing that first week of wild card weekend and like getting that like pressure off, like playing that first weekend and just getting the stress off of you going into that divisional round. Because once you get through that wild card weekend and you go into that divisional round, then you meet the big boys of the playoffs, the 1 and 2 seeds, and then the pressure gets put directly on them, right? They're the ones waiting that haven't played. They've been watching. You're coming in with momentum and with confidence. And yeah, you're on the road. You got to go meet these guys, but like you're coming in with momentum. And that's kind of the way I always looked at it. And that's why I always felt like, yeah, it's good to be the 1 and 2, but like if we can, you know, win that first game and get some positive juice going, we should feel really good about like going to play the higher seeds. Like, and you know, when you have a good quarterback and you got good receivers and you feel good about the guys you're playing next to, and you got a defense that is like what Green Bay has now, that's opportunistic, that can get takeaways, you should feel good about playing anybody, right? Like you should feel good about, you know, having a chance to beat anyone. And I would imagine that's how they feel. And that's how Matt LaFleur feels. Cause like if you go on the road, you get a takeaway or two, your quarterback takes care of the ball, you normally can beat anyone, right? Like that's normally the way playoff football goes. So if that's the recipe that they follow, they should be okay. It's where it gets dicey is where you go play a Philly, you get gashed for $150, you turn it over. Like that's when things go a little haywire in the playoffs. I've been on that side of it too. I'll put it that way. A couple times. Now, I don't know about the turnovers, but with getting gashed for about $180 or $200.
Yeah. There's a game in San Francisco, a couple of them that I recall that happening.
All right.
I want to get to what Brian saw from this game and what this team looks like moving forward, what he saw from the offensive line, what other things stood out to him when he broke down the film. I do want to note that 16 team, which was a magical finish, like Roger says, run the table, and you guys do. You beat that's the year that the Giants came in and you trashed them in the opening round, and then you go to Dallas and there's the throw to Cook, and then Mason makes the field goal twice before you go to Atlanta and have your flight delayed by fog in Green Bay. So that team didn't have to go on the road three times, which, again, you talk about playing that first round game, get that kind of playoff feeling, much rather get it at home. And this team's not going to have that going for it this year. All right, we'll talk more about that after Tausch tells us about AmFam and what they've got going on with the Packers.
Packer fans, ready for some game day excitement? Well, next time you're at Lambeau, stop by the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse and experience the thrill of making a game-saving play with our interactive Protect the End Zone game. Plus, don't miss out on all the amazing giveaways. From exclusive Packers merch to special prizes, there's a little something for everybody. Visit us at Title Town to make your game day unforgettable. For more info, check out amfam.com/Packers. Dream fearlessly, insure carefully.
More credit card talk and Packers talk with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in, but when I go back home, I've got some famous.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, yeah, as we do every Wednesday on Wilde and Tausch, with our new video setup. I can't move my camera back any farther, Jesse. It's against the wall.
Yeah,
so.
I still don't know why he wants it up on us so much. It's just weird.
You're the stars of the show.
I know. You don't need to like be up all on our grill. Like, Blue's got a nice little view there.
It's not
nice,
that
easy setup.
He's
there
got
for
a
Blue.
Good set. You figure it out.
Well, it was good. You changed it. Blue, well, how much can you take from this defensive line? Because here's the deal. You got your Debbie Downers, and you got your, oh, my God, we're the best ever. Because of all the sacks and the pressures that we had last week, where do you see this defense? Because my thing is, when we've played the big boy O-lines, hadn't been good. The Detroits, the Phillies, the Minnesotas, not a ton of pressure. You play Houston. You play Miami. You play Seattle. We look like, wow, what a crew. Where are we at?
Yeah, I mean, now, giving our D-line a little bit of, little credit, and not, like, I get these are professionals, so, like, I'm not, like, cutting them a break here, but, like, there's not too many defensive lines that are doing well against Detroit's and Philly's and Minnesota's offensive lines this year. That's not, like, you watch teams that play those teams, and, like, not many teams are having success against those guys. Like, they're doing whatever they want offensively for the most part, running the football, throwing it. So, like, those O-lines are just good. And, like, you've been a part of those types of O-lines. Doesn't really matter what D-line you play. You go against a D-line, you beat them up, you stop them. It's just the way, like, you're in a groove as a group, and you just play them, and it doesn't matter. Like, you just you win your one-on-one matchups with them, and you move on to the next. And that's kind of the way those groups are playing. But moving on to, like, the way our group is playing, like, D-line-wise, I think what we see from them is, like, a steady improvement. And I think when they got rid of Preston, I think all we talked about was, like, all right, who's going to step up and who's going to play better and this and that. And we've seen I always butcher his name.
Enagbare.
Yeah, I hate butchering his name. We've seen him, or at least I have, and what the tape has shown, he has jumped out and really taken the most out of the reps that he's gotten. And maybe I'm the only one that sees that, but I doubt I am, because he has played really well since Preston has left. And I think guys like that have really shown to be difference makers up front since that trade has been made. Now, I wish I've seen a little bit more of the stalwarts pick that up a little bit more. Like, there's been a little bit more production from Rashawn Gary. I think he's created a little bit more pressure. He's been bull rushing a little bit more positively and pushing the tackle back into the quarterback's lap a little bit more, which has created a little bit more pressure for other guys to get home. I think Kenny's been doing a really good job in the run game. I think Kenny's been really solid against the run. Like, you've kind of seen the numbers with our rushing, how we've stopped the run the last few weeks, or last 3 or 4 weeks, really. Mm-hmm. We've done a really nice job. I get Detroit's always the outlier, but I thought even against Detroit, they did an okay job stopping the run. It was the pass that they got butchered in, right? So I think they've done a nice job. And I think all we're going to get this year, until Halfley continues to get more and more guys in, right, and starts to implement more of his defense, and things start to change every year more and more, all we can ask for is, like, a steady incline every week, right? And we just get a little bit more every week, and then we ask for major growth the following year, right? And that's all we can really ask for. And I think that's what we're getting. Some weeks will be better than others, and sometimes we're going to have to look to produce pressure, like we saw from Cooper, and like we'll see from McKinney, and things like that. You'll have to manufacture these things. And that's okay, right? That's okay if those get home in time, which they did. That's okay to manufacture that. So I think it's getting better. But again, against these big teams that you're going to see in the playoffs, I think we're going to see a lot of the same that we've seen in those games, right? Like, and you're just going to have to hope you get home once or twice in impact situations and big time situations that it means something. And normally in the playoffs, that's normally how those games go. Like, you're looking for a big play every now and again that can spark something. And that's normally, I always found that, like, when you get good teams against good teams in the playoffs, like, there's not a bunch of sacks. There's not a bunch of pressures. There's not, like, a bunch of opportunities for D linemen whooping up on O linemen. It's normally good groups against good groups, and it's normally like one or two impact plays. So that's what I would expect to show itself, you know, when they play Minnesota coming up and probably in the playoff.
Brian, what do you make of Edgerrin Cooper? You just mentioned him there.
I mean, what a game. What a game.
Some, including by Kingsley Enagbare, saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And Domofsky or Bill, somebody asked him, well, Packers Hall of Famer or Pro Football Hall of Famer? And he said both, which feels a little premature to me. Again, I'm not here to judge Kingsley's
assessment. This coming from a guy that crowned Xavier McKinney, Charles Woodson, and Evan Williams, Micah Hyde. It's too premature for Jason, though.
Well, I didn't put them in the Hall of Fame directly.
Charles Woodson's a Hall of Famer, Jason. I hate to tell you this, but he is.
He is indeed. What do you make of what Cooper is doing, and how much of a difference maker can he be for them?
Yeah, so I'm not going to call him a Hall of Famer yet. I will I'll put the flag in the sand there. Like, I'll stop there. But it is very impressive for the limited time, right? Because he had the injury. How long was he out, Jason? 3-4 weeks?
Yeah, three. He missed three games. Yep.
Yeah, missed three games. For how long he was out, to be put in that situation and have the impact that he had, that's impressive for a young guy to be able to do. Normally when young guys miss a lot of time like that, they're put back in a situation, normally it's for very basic, you know, concepts and schemes, and for very simple things. They're not asked to do a bunch because they've been out, and you know, you don't want to overload them. This kid goes in there and he's running pick stunts and he's doing it really well, and he's rocking the hip of the guard and ricocheting and going to get sacks, and he's dropping into coverage and picking, and like, and he's all over the place. And you're just looking at, I mean, I watched that pick stunt that he did, and like, as a lineman, like, I'm watching him, like, he normally, and I said this to Homer, and I don't know if Homer got it, he probably didn't, but normally when pick stunts happen, the linebacker always looks to ear hole the guard and look for the big ooh-ah ear hole shot that knocks the guard down, and it looks cool on film, and, you know, they laugh about it in the meet. But it's like, it doesn't really do anything, right? Like, because then their baby body's all over the place and the looper doesn't get home, and, you know, the quarterback may get the ball off. Well, he does it correctly, hits the hip of the guard, and pings himself off while also allowing the looper to get home too. So two guys come running free, and he gets the sack. And it looks perfect, and he does it exactly correct. Yes, and it was like, and I'm watching this going, that's like, that's veteran type stuff. Like, that's really well
done. Hall of Fame stuff.
I mean, you know, it's, I don't, I mean, again, I'm not gonna
Patrick Willis stuff
yet. Yeah,
that's what Navarro Bowman did to us back in the mid-2000s.
No, those boys just ran straight ahead at us, just blew us up. No, they did do a little bit of that pick stunt with Vic Fangio. They did that pick stunt, but he is playing for the, again, the limited amount, and I would imagine that his reps are going to ramp up significantly this week, especially if Quay is out. And he needs to be on the field more because he is a very explosive athlete. He covers a lot of ground. I think he's a difference maker. And those are the type of guys you're going to need on your defense. And as this thing moves along, right, we're looking at this, and Goody's been doing this since, obviously, you know, he took over, this youth movement. And if you want to be what you're hoping this thing's going to be at the end, right, get to a Super Bowl, your youth is going to have to play really well. And the defense is very young. And if you want that thing to, you know, be playing at its peak in the playoffs, these young guys are going to have to be playing really well. And this is how you get them to play well. These last 3 weeks of this season, they're going to have to start peaking, right? And that's getting Williams and Cooper and Bullard and all these guys playing at a really high level and get into the playoffs and have them feeling really confident and comfortable going into week one of the playoffs. So I'm expecting him to be a stud for a long time, and he's exciting to watch.
Blue, take us through the O-line. We haven't talked that at all. It's a lot of Edgerrin Cooper in defense. What did you see?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I mean, we could talk about the first drive. I mean, the first drive was about as dominant as I've seen from a group in a long time. I think when you go into a drive essentially saying we're going to run the ball every single play, you know, like that was the mentality, like we're going to run the ball every single play. Like we understood what happened last week and it was really bad. Like I felt like that was the mentality that group came out with, was last week was really bad. We're changing the narrative right away and we're going to take the life out of this stadium with this first drive. And that's what they did. They lined up and they just bullied Seattle all the way down the field. It was, eight runs, two passes. One of them was a swing pass to, or both of them were swing passes to Jacobs. Is that correct? Or
yeah, he touched the ball 9 out of the 10 times. There was the one scramble by Love. Did you ever have a drive like that before you go further into the offensive line? I don't remember ever seeing the Packers ever do that in all my time covering the team.
No, absolutely not. Never. I mean, it's just, and, you know, hey, there might have been 8 runs called, but there's a good chance Aaron threw the look, you know, went out and tossed the look to Jordy or to Devontae, or, you know what I mean? There's a good chance that happened. So, like,
especially down in the red zone, am I right?
Oh, for sure in the red zone. Absolutely. You ain't getting that Russian TD now.
Oh, boy, likes those touchdown throws now.
You ain't getting that Russian TD. That's only, like, I will say, he'll get, you know, the Russian TD, what he really liked was, though, he liked the speed jet flip one, you know, and that, like, Aaron Jones would come in motion. Yeah, he'd give you a little flip, because that counted as, like, we thought it was like a run, because we would block inside zone, but it was a pass, technically. Mm-hmm. And then we found that out a few weeks later, and we're like, oh, that's a pass, huh? But, again, I'm moving on. I know, I just, memories.
Memories.
Just fun time, dude. Just, I mean, just you sit in meeting rooms for so long and talk about this stuff. It's just, it is what it is. But the way that they played in the first half was phenomenal. Like, dominated Seattle up front the entire first half. And then I think what everyone wants to get on, right, and I think what you guys probably want to talk about and what everyone wants to, Homer wanted to talk about it, like what happened in the third quarter and what happened in a little bit of the fourth quarter, right? Like, I think that's what everyone wanted to talk about, and like we could talk about it, right? And what happened, and we could start really simple. Like, Seattle made adjustments. They were getting bludgeoned, and Seattle made adjustments, and they did a good job. McDonald is a defensive coach, and he was looking at what was happening to them, and he made really good adjustments. I mean, bringing extra guys down and moving the line a little bit, and, like, they did a good job. And it wasn't like guys were getting smoked up front. It wasn't like they weren't, you know, they were blowing aside. Like, none of that was happening. It was just, it got a little bit sloppy, got a little bit, you know, just the picture wasn't clean all the time, and it wasn't like protection was failing. It just didn't look like it was working, right? And you saw three and out, and it just, those things kind of happen, right? And when you're dominating a team that much in a first half on the road, things like that tend to happen throughout a game, right? Like, the other team's eventually going to, like, fight back at some point, or at least you would hope they would, right? And it happened. But then when I felt like when they needed to have it, then it became real. In the, you didn't catch on to that, Tosh? No, okay. I was going to say that was a campy quote, but that was a campy quote. Again, never mind. Oh, my gosh. But in the fourth quarter, when they needed it, I thought the O-line got what they needed, and they finished the game off, got the touchdown, and went down the field and got what they needed and finished it off. So I thought the group played well. They definitely rebounded from what they showed against Detroit, right? And clearly the group in Seattle was better than the group that they played in Detroit. Like, let's be real. Like, they played backups in Detroit. They played starters that have been playing well in Seattle, and they played much better. So, like, definite improvement, and they, you know, definitely did a better job overall than what they showed in Detroit. So to me, you know, good job to those guys.
All right, Blue, last one for me. I think the Lions are done. And I know that sounds crazy, but they, I mean, you're talking about their best corner now and their best interior D lineman on top of their best, obviously, Hutchinson. And then Anzalone's not in there. I think Minnesota finds a way to win the division. I don't think – am I crazy to think this way? Do you think Detroit with everything, even with that offense, and now the fact that they're – I don't know if it was Sonic or Knuckles that's not playing now with Montgomery being out. I just don't think – you can't just be a – and you saw this in 11. You can't be a one-sided deal. It can't just be we're going to outshoot and outscore everybody. It ain't how the playoffs work. And I don't think Detroit's going to have enough on defense. Campbell gave a great speech yesterday because he knows that there's doubt in his locker room, and he's trying to reassure those guys, and he's going to be able to get everybody fired up. But fired up only gets you so far. Am I crazy to think this way?
No, I don't think you're crazy. And a part of me, not that I'm sympathetic towards any team, but a part of me feels bad for him. Like, and I don't know what it is about it, but like a part of me feels bad for him. And listen, I hope everyone rips me for it. Like, how could you feel bad for him? Because like, I guess the way I always looked at it, like, you don't want like a team to bow out or just completely collapse because of injury, right? Like, that's normally not the way I like to see things,
right?
Like,
beat 'em.
Play out and and shake out. Like, hey, man. If you beat them and they collapse on their own and like they just lose, hey, then it's like, well, don't feel bad for you then, right? Like,
right.
Don't really care at that point. Like, doesn't matter to me. But like, I mean, you just named off how many more guys that are either on IR or missing for like, I mean, that's like insane to me. So like, and I don't even know.
21 guys, Blue. Like, 21 guys on IR,
and not just some schlubs either. Like a bunch of really key players.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I don't know how you defensively, because that's where most of these things are, right? Like, it's on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know how you recover from it. And we saw what Buffalo did to him. And you're going to go against Philly. You're going to go against Green Bay again. You're going to go against Minnesota soon here. I don't know how you stop those teams with that defense. So like, it's going to be tough. And I get the offense is good, but now you're missing Montgomery. Yeah. So now you're going to rely way more on the other back. Yep. Yeah. So like, now, like, there's a lot more onus on one guy. And listen, as good as Gibbs is, he's not Montgomery. They're two different backs. They're asked to do different things. Like, it's a different part of the offense. So like, it complicates things a little bit. And yeah, like there's definitely reason to believe that they could struggle these last few weeks. They could drop a few more games in the last few weeks. Now, I don't know who they play. They got the Bears, Minnesota,
and San Fran.
Yeah, Minnesota
to
close.
On the road.
Okay.
They could lose all three. I mean, I could see them losing to Chicago this weekend, guys. I could. I don't think they will, but I could. Chicago's just really bad. And I feel like they've kind of already, but this might be their Custer's last stand game. You always got to take into account a Custer's last stand game. This might be it down there. Blue, second to last one for me. Are you joining D-Box group where he's saying, I know, Jason. I love Blue. I got to get my questions out. Detroit Lions field. And D-Box has been all, I know, Jesse. Dame time. Are you on the D-Box train to say, go put some grass in there, maybe you won't have 27 guys on IR?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah. You got 27 guys on IR. They've played majority of their games on turf this year. Tell me the coincidence.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's an interesting thought.
Just being honest with you.
All right, so wait, do you have another thing now? Because you said last.
No, I don't have
me,
another last.
Then
I
you
want
said
the
second
two last.
Okay.
I wanted to say Merry Christmas to our guy, Blue. I don't know what the next week's schedule is going to be. Blue, we love you. You've been fantastic. And Merry Christmas to you and the crew.
I'll be on Monday with you guys. I'll do a Monday.
Awesome.
Almost as if Jesse's planning things, so we have these types of things covered.
Well, like that's not a shock that Jesse's planning things. So let's come on. All right.
Planning this next commercial break and the one after it, if we could ever get to it.
Brian, you're the best, man. We appreciate you so much. Thanks for your time. And the show's over because we kept you so long. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys.
Merry Christmas, huh? Merry Christmas,
Who you got in the Super Bowl while we're at it, huh?
I think the more amazing thing is you love him so much and you're so happy we have him and everything else. You can't separately wish him a Merry Christmas, like,
just call him
out on the air?
We can't do both?
Send him a 12-pack of Coors Light as a Christmas gift.
Coors Light, brute. Well, if I may, can we get this so we can get to break? Can you let me stop? Coors Light, brewed with a 3-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light's refreshing, it's crisp, it's only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Sub responsibly, Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
At 10:18, I tell you that the 10 o'clock hour will start in 2 minutes, a new league record. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.